Only 1 week left in the 2015 season for the great state of Texas, and the Sports Day HS Weekly Football Podcast looks back at one of the craziest playoff weeks in recent memory. The crew discusses Allen's fall to Austin Westlake in the 6A Division I semis, snapping its 57-game winning streak. Another state champ, Aledo, gets dumped by Mansfield Lakeridge, but will Lakeridge's title hopes be dashed by injuries to two of their stars? Lone Star beats Lake Dallas in triple overtime, one of the most outlandish finishes we've ever seen, and Argyle and Salina move on, keeping hopes of a 4A DFW sweep alive. The road to a state title ends this week at Houston's NRG Stadium, and we'll preview all the games coming up on this week's podcast. Sports Day HS Weekly Football Podcast, the penultimate edition. I think we'll come back next week to do another one. I don't know.
I will not be involved.
Oh, no. Matt Wixon on vacation. So maybe we won't do one.
But
maybe
more power to you.
Maybe we'll wait until our all-area teams come out and do one.
That's a good idea.
Season wrap-up.
That's probably a good idea.
Okay,
yeah.
So soak up all the enjoyment from this podcast.
Ooh.
Because it's going to be about a month before we get another one out there. Matt Wixon and Greg Riddle are here. Avi Zalin. And Rihanna Walker maybe coming here.
I know,
obviously, the door's open.
Yeah. He's en route. He's bringing the chopper in, and he'll be here any moment now.
You will know by his loud exclamations. What a crazy week! That's probably one of the craziest playoff weeks of recent memory. Just some great games.
Yep.
Pretty much across the board. The only dud was the game that I covered. We'll talk about Mansfield really, you know,
Lake
struggling against a very good Lake Travis team, and. Like, I guess we have nowhere to start, but 57-1.
Mm-hmm.
Allen, they're
57-0 is the headline I put on my column.
That was a good headline.
I thought it was a good headline, too.
Yeah, Allen's 57-game winning streak and hopes of a fourth straight state title come to an end at the hands of Austin Westlake and Todd Dodge, probably just sticking in the craw of those Allen fans.
Oh, a couple people said, why'd you have to mention that? I have to mention that, right? I mean, he coached
South Lake
Carroll.
I wrote a story about it.
Jeez.
For Jiminy Pete.
I didn't say that Todd Dodge threw a touchdown pass or something like that.
No, but he's got something going on there.
Well, he's a good coach, everything else not considered, you know, whether he's got Allen's number or anything like that,
right.
I mean, he's a great coach. So they're going to be a great team. Are a very good team.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about it. He's got that program really, really humming. You know, they're one win away from a state title in a game that I don't know if they'll be favored or not.
Oh, I think they're a big favorite over North Shore.
North Shore had three losses, but those three losses came back to back to back, but against really good teams.
I think
they lost to Manville, Spring Westfield, and Euless Trinity by 10. Allen just didn't play the game that you would expect Allen to play, falling down 23-0 right out the box. They shut him out in the second half.
But
they just can't get that offense going. The two quarterback system that had worked so well, neither quarterback played well, and they kind of, you know, interchanged both of those guys and switched them in and out to try to figure out who would go. The Mitchell Jonke struggled mightily, 4 of 20 passing. Seth Green, you know, threw for 100 yards and it was a little bit dangerous with his legs, but it was not enough.
Right from the start, first two drives netted a loss of 12 yards. And the thing was, I mean, I can't remember if they ran on their first snap. I believe they did, but basically got stuffed. And then Jonke got sacked on third down. And, I mean, Westlake was coming at them. They were blitzing. And I can't recall that any team has done that as much against Allen, but it's possible that, you know, Allen has just picked it up better in other cases.
Well, their offensive line is ridiculous. So
Allen's offensive line, it's really strong, but it's not really big. I mean, they've been very effective all year. I wrote about them a couple of weeks ago, but in this game, they could not get a heck of a lot going inside running. And Jonke, whether it was Jonke or Seth Green, they had not a lot of time to throw, and they were off.
And Kirby Bennett did leave that game
with an injury.
Yeah, at halftime?
Third quarter. But, you know, in either late first, early second quarter, Allen lost one of their best offensive linemen, Connor Kramer, went out.
Ooh.
So that made a difference. In fact, it was kind of like a walking wounded. Nick Allen left, who's a DB for Allen.
Mm-hmm.
He was out. And then, yeah, they lost Kirby Bennett, who was finding some effectiveness kind of running outside. But I tell you what, Westlake just looked really good. I know Allen didn't play their best. Both quarterbacks were a little bit off. They were rushed and everything. But that, for the most part, Westlake dominated that game.
Sam Ehlinger is the real deal.
He's really good.
And,
yep.
And seven of Allen's points came from the Jalen Jones.
Jalen Jones
interception. 100 yards.
You know, Allen was in this game late. They made it a contest late.
I think for the most part, Allen's defense played really well against what I thought was an offense that had a lot of weapons and probably the best player on the field that day.
Yeah.
Ehlinger. And he was running, doing inside runs on them, you know, just constantly.
I heard comparisons to Kenny Hill. He's kind of a stocky guy.
He's a big guy.
About
but he can run.
6'2", but can
he's
run.
Not lightning fast, right. But it's hard to take him
at the
down.
High school level.
Very hard to take
him
down.
Because if you look at what Westlake did to a team like North Mesquite, you know, like you get a little bit more appreciation to holding them to, you know, 23 points or whatnot. But the weird thing to me was that if I were to ask you, you know, how is Allen going to lose? I would think like, oh, like last second field goal or something like that. It's like, no, this was
or
just,
tons of turnovers.
Right. Well, that's the thing. I mean, if you think of this, too, they gave up 23 points. One of those came off a 7-yard punt where Westlake started at the Allen 20. So
that's special teams.
It's a special team situation. I never thought Allen would get held to, you know, essentially on offense, 10 points.
Yep.
And
this was the team that was averaging over 500 yards a game and 40 points a game.
It's just a weird game.
I thought, you know, it was just one of those games where Allen just, they really could not do much on offense.
Jalen Jones gets what is probably a 105-yard interception return with about a minute 46 to go. That cuts that deficit to 6. They try an onside kick. It goes out of bounds. And then Ehlinger gets 2 runs, a 9-yard run, and then gets the first down on the next play, and that's it.
It was amazing to me to think that Allen, I mean, if you're talking about they've had to have a little bit of magic to pull some out of the fire over this, and when Jalen Jones returned that, I'm like, they are one onside kick recovery away from being in position to win this game, and they really had no business winning that
game.
When
I read that Jalen Jones did that, I really thought, this is it. Like, they're going to, like this is, like, typical. Like, okay, you know, like, there's still magic left, and they're going to come back, but no.
So, hats off to Westlake, though. That was a really impressive performance.
Hats off to Westlake, but let's sit and take a second to talk about 57 straight games. I tweeted out something that it just seemed like they did it so easy and it was so inevitable that they were winning all these games that I didn't think it was going to come to an end. I was actually thinking that next year's season finale, they would be in position to break that record. That would be
the Salina one?
The Salina record. Right. That would be their 69th straight win. Mm-hmm. Thoughts on that win streak? I mean, it was really amazing. It was amazing in a couple of ways. Kyler Murray is one of the best high school football players I've ever seen, and I think you'd probably say the same thing.
Yep.
But to be able to get back into position this year with a completely revamped crew, that was really impressive. Good coaching from Coach Westerberg.
Well, I just think, you know, and I wrote about on for Sunday that when Carroll's got snapped at 49 back in 2007, I thought, well, that's not going to happen again. Not at the 5A, now 6A level. And then, you know, Allen started theirs a few years later. It just seems so improbable for anyone to do that because Allen was the favorite in all their games, but they were often, you know, not that big a favorite. They had to play some really tough teams along the way. They played some tough non-district games before the playoffs, too. And they often had to, you know, kind of pull them out of the fire. What, 4 in a row last year in the playoffs, they were behind in the second half.
Well, DeSoto gave them a great game, three years in a row?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Could have easily won all three of those.
Well, there's not so much margin for error that you can just kind of roll it out there. I mean, there were a few games they could do that, but for the most part, I mean,
but
there have been 20 games in that streak probably were tough, hard-fought games that could have gone either way in the second half, and they got them all.
Well,
when
I did that tally of that, it was amazing to see how few times they'd actually trailed. Mm-hmm. So we remember those times. We don't remember the times they just walked.
Well, they've
people.
Blown out their district.
Yeah, and they've blown out their district, but they've blown out a lot of playoff opponents too.
Right.
You got to have, as Coach Hal Wasson told me last week, you got to have that magic man. You got to have a guy who is be able to pull something out of the fire. And he said that Westlake has that in Ehlinger. He had seen his first varsity start came against Carroll last year in a Carroll win, but a close game. And he said that kid is special, and you can see that he was the difference maker.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Well, what I was thinking of is, and it's weird because high school. I think high school sports kind of very much stands alone in the landscape of sports. Like, I think you can compare, like, different pro sports to each other, you know, NHL to NBA or stuff like that. But I think it's, like, just a totally different ballgame, though, when you're talking about just the amateurism of high school as opposed to even college. But I was trying to think of, you know, something that is even comparable to what Allen did on another scale. Or, I mean, it's pretty incredible just to expect to win every single game. You know, I mean, I know that sounds really dumb kind of coming out of my mouth because it's so simplistic, but it goes beyond just, you know, oh, we expect to win the championship, because that's one thing. You know, because you can have teams that, oh, they're the favorite to win the championship, and, you know, maybe they'll lose a game they're not supposed to, but to just be perfect. And maybe, again, that's because in high school there's not as much parity, because the often the most talent, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, maybe, but it seems like the favorite will win more in a high school situation than it will in a college or pro
situation.
Well,
I don't
think
there's any doubt there's a bigger separation in talent between some high schools.
Right.
But, you know, I know that Allen fans wanted to put a line of demarcation, say that this is a six. We're the big school leader.
The big
leader
school record.
Now.
Right.
We've got the big school record. Don't discount what Salina did with 68, because that is like multi-generational, for lack of a better
right.
term. It's not using the same kids again and again. You know, there's a lot of kids on this team who are essential pieces of those early teams in Allen when they won. When you talk about Greg Little, when you talk about Jalen Jones, those guys were big contributors, you know, a couple of years ago. With the Salina's win streak, it had two entire different groups.
Complete
of,
overhaul.
Yeah,
yeah,
complete overhaul. Where you were losing a lot of kids.
And we're going to write about that later for the paper, because I think that's an interesting component, too. Like, people were talking about when the Patriots lost to the Giants, like, in the Super Bowl, like, the 76 Dolphins exhaled and were like, they, you know, popped the champagne and light up the cigars. And I bet somewhere there's a Salina.
You think Adam Heron is out there giving his friends high fives about that? Well,
I think there's a little bit of pride there, like, that your record,
there's no doubt,
you know, gets to stay intact, and that, you know, Salina gets to stand alone and probably, you know, for a number of years. I mean, I don't
for more than a number of years, at least six. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Okay, well, let's move on to the other semifinal in Class 6A that involved an area team, and that was Division II, Mansfield and Lake Travis. And Mansfield, they were in this game for a second. And
they scored first.
They scored first on a very impressive drive. You know, Kennedy Brooks did what he needed to do. He rushed for almost 200 yards and two scores. They just had some things just go against them early. It's clear Lake Travis was a better team. Lake Travis walks to a 49-21 win and really lopsided game. But Mansfield could have stayed in that game if a few things would have broken their way. They on the first drive for Lake Travis, they had them in third and long in a couple of situations. If they would have been able to stop them and get the ball back, you know, maybe it's a different game. Saeed Adebo, when it's 14-7 Lake Travis, he gets an interception. It looks like he's going to take it to the house. He runs out, gets pushed out of bounds at the 4-yard line. They call an illegal block. A kid just got his clock cleaned from a Mansfield defender peeling back. They threw a flag on that, moved it back to nearly midfield, and they don't score on that drive. If they had tied the game there, it could have been different. But, you know, Lake Travis certainly showed its dominance. And we'll talk about a little bit in part two about what is probably the most tasty of the state final games,
mm-hmm.
not involving an area team, unfortunately, but two really great programs in Katy and Lake Travis.
Charlie Brewer looked pretty awesome.
He
For Lake Travis, threw for 300 yards and even caught a touchdown pass on a reverse
from his brother.
Pass back. To
not
the,
from
the
not no relation. No
oh,
relation.
Okay.
Cade Brewer and Charlie Brewer. No relation.
What about the Lake Dallas? No. There's another Brewer.
Keegan
Brewer. I don't know if Keegan is
just
is
a lot of brewmasters.
Greg.
Yes.
You and I. Well, we were sort of together for that game at Birdville Fine Arts Athletic Complex.
I saw that tweet.
I was outside on the film deck.
Wow.
Well, you know, I did not know they do a just
auxiliary.
It was just. You know, oh, yeah, we gave you a credential, but first come, first serve on the six seats we have.
There was a big room for about 100, what they call dignitaries,
yep.
to the left of us.
Matt Stepp was
tweeting
up a storm.
That's why they're now a dignitary.
A lot of people
Kevin Casas was hot about it. Kevin Casas,
apparently,
freelancer for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, he's still probably on fire about
that. We had to get there about 2 hours early.
I want
to
get a complaint.
I want to get confirmation from you. Like, the people who were in the press box, like sitting in the press box, were just...
No, they have they had two levels of press box,
and you couldn't fit.
They had three radio crews,
TV crew,
and a TV crew.
So two-level press box still, yeah.
Right. Well, you have coaches in the middle.
Right.
And they had a film deck up in the middle of the fourth floor. The TV on one side, radio on the other, and then you come down to the next floor. There was two whole booths that were taken up by radio. Then you had this middle section of just seats where they had some food for those guys, and it was the administrators from both schools were supposed to sit there. And I've been in a situation like this before. It was at Lancaster where the press area was full, and then I tried to go sit in there, and they ran me out. It was something similar to that.
And there was like 20, 30 empty seats in there.
But, you know, this is a complaint from media sometimes, and people don't care. So
but,
let's
move
on.
It's a first world problem.
It is a first
world
writer
problem. It's your to an extent.
Yeah.
And there were hornets in the press box. Live hornets were in the press box.
Greg cares about the live
hornets. Rockwall was scouting?
Yeah.
No, like actual live hornets that could sting you.
Yeah. I got it, Greg. God, you guys think I'm so dumb.
Anyway.
Kernel truth, whatever.
Mansfield Lake Ridge.
They look very
Alito.
Good.
Mansfield Lake Ridge looked really good.
Yeah.
But, dun-dun-dun, both their best
yeah,
players
got
hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jet Duffy was limping around, very gimpy after he got hurt, comes back in after going to the sideline for one play and promptly throws a 51-yard touchdown pass.
Well, you know, he is good.
But if he can't run, that's going to be a big problem for the Lake Ridge offense. Yeah. He said he just tweaked it and that he should be able to play next week.
Yeah, but how about Duke Carter?
He said he said he'll be fine. He said he could have gone back in if it was a closer game. Both of them said that.
Well, it wasn't a close game. In fact, Alito kind of flattered by that score because they pick up 14 points in the fourth quarter. As soon as I watched the first two drives, I tweeted out, man, Lakers are going to get the blow Alito out because they were clearly the dominant team. Alito, you know, struggled offensively.
Passing of the torch.
Yeah.
I thought Alito's defense – Lake Ridge's offense is fantastic and has been all year.
I thought Alito's defense
would do a little bit better.
Yeah, yep. But the simple fact of the matter is Region 1,
Lake Ridge was a lot bigger than Alito was, especially on their offensive line.
Lake Ridge, that was the thing. I went there for practice to report on a story. It's actually coming down tomorrow's paper, I think. I got to cut it down. But their offensive line, nobody talks about. There's some big dudes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And they dominated both sides of the line of scrimmage. Alito, they, you know, had almost 250 yards total offense. Well, Lake Ridge rushed for 321 in that game against an Alito defense that had been pretty salty. Their lone loss was to Cedar Park, and it's too bad we can't see a Cedar Park. Lake Ridge,
right.
Match up there because I think those might be the two most dominant teams there in 5A. But Lake Ridge, just their fourth varsity season, you know, it's been well documented. They were 0-10 in their first year, and now they're 15-0. They'll face Richmond George Ranch. We'll talk about that in part two. But that was a dominating performance, one of the better performances against a team of caliber.
And Lake Ridge only threw 10 passes the whole game, and this was 2 weeks after they threw for 450 yards.
They can do it whatever way they want.
Right. Yep.
And it was really appropriate that the new program plays such an established one in Alito that's just used to winning championships.
Yeah, Alito was trying to win its sixth state title in 7 years, which would have been the first team to ever do that.
Woo-wee.
When you beat an opponent that's a state champion, that's one thing. But to do it against an opponent that is the caliber of Alito that has the pedigree
to win.
Yeah, just that's just.
And the Lake Ridge defense had given up an average of 48 points the last three games, and they just shut down Alito.
They did.
I mean, their running game couldn't get anything going.
On the other bracket, in Division II bracket, you had Frisco Lone Star versus Lake Dallas. Avi, you did kind of a recap of this because this was bananas. It was one of the more bananas games you'll ever see. Lone Star ends up surviving 55-49 in triple overtime. Lake Dallas must have received blessing from the Pope because just for them to actually stay in this game.
Oh. Was it 28-0?
Yeah. It was 28-0.
And the game tying drive to send it into overtime, they had two fourth downs converted by defensive pass interference.
Oh, wow.
And then they got down to the 2 yard line. And it took them four downs to get in. Mm-hmm. Their touchdown
and
pass.
And they did it with like 2 seconds left.
Yeah, I think the time expired in that. It was a 1 yard touchdown pass to Keegan Brewer from Dagenhain, who was playing gimpy there after like the third quarter. He like hurt something, but he was injured.
It was the other AC.
Yeah, I mean, but he had a phenomenal game.
Yeah,
but Jason Shelley also, you know, with a highlight reel, rushed for I think
204 yards.
Yeah, 204 yards, 5 touchdowns, threw for 2 scores, yeah.
316 yards passing.
Yeah, on 18 of 20 passing.
Yeah,
so I mean,
he's
was
pretty efficient.
Yeah, he had
not
a big,
bad for a junior.
He had a big game. These teams. Okay, so Lake Dallas somehow finds a way to stay in this game, somehow finds a way to send it into overtime, and then in their first two overtime periods, both passes are deflection catches.
Tip drill.
Yeah, and one of them came off the defender's head.
Yeah.
So they get into the overtime, and Jason Shelley scores on a draw play in the third overtime, and they don't get the two-point conversion, so you're thinking, oh, there's Lake Dallas's chance. Interception seals the win.
On first down,
well,
right?
They were – the interesting thing was Lake Dallas was thinking about going for two. I think it was Lake Dallas was thinking about going for two.
In the second overtime?
They kind of, like, blend together, like, when I, like, think – and just because I didn't go to the game, but I just, like, read – like,
right.
The DRC had, like, 3 stories from it. Like, Rhiannon was tweeting crazy, so I was kind of just trying to digest it all. But, yeah, it was one of the overtimes that – they were thinking about going for two, and then they called a timeout, and they're like, nah, we're just going to go to the next
one. Should go for it. You figure another deflection's going to go your way.
Well, yeah. I think it was like the
if you've had that many breaks, maybe just wait for your opponent to make a mistake, and it happened.
Yeah.
They got that chance. Shelley completed a short pass in the triple overtime two-point conversion, but the receiver was pulled out of bounds at the 1 or half-yard line. They had a shot.
They saw what happened to Lovejoy. And
yeah.
Yeah. I don't want that evil.
Jeff Rayburn, Frisco Lone Star. So much for Frisco schools not being able to get deep.
This is crazy. Frisco ISD was created in, like the inception of time, like 1903, like something like
the
that.
The inception of time.
Yes.
According to their website. They've never had a team play in the state title game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Frisco was a tiny little.
Yeah, I mean,
little, but like you, even Frisco when you're a tiny town, like you still play against other tiny towns.
Well, they made the semifinals.
Yeah, but
they Frisco had one high school until 2000.
Oh,
now they have what, 7?
Yeah,
whatever. Okay, so
9, 12.
So they're on their way to 12.
60. All right. Yeah. Well, what are 15 years?
Yeah, but there are a lot of of teams that have, districts that have never played.
It's tough.
A state title.
And especially in some of those smaller ones, you run into the Salinas of your day where there's just little rural towns that are just football factories.
And
Frisco was never that.
That really exists in those small towns.
I have a dumb question that's going to make me sound
another
dumb.
Another one.
So, no, the correct response, Corbett, was
the
there are
one.
No dumb questions.
Right,
there are no dumb questions.
No, you've already, now you got to lie in it. Plano, what's, like, historically, have they had reasonable success at that level?
Okay. But just
they
not
were,
recently.
They were Class B champs.
B.
Back when my dad was in high school, I think. They were the smaller classification, classification smaller than my dad's high school.
Because I just compare.
A tiny high school.
I know there's a difference in size, but I just, sometimes North Dallas suburbs like Plano and Frisco seem to kind of go hand in hand.
But there's a big difference between, a Plano and a Frisco, which is still.
Plano had several decades of largeness with one high school.
Right.
And it was a suburb, but it was a football fan. I mean, like, Frisco blew up, like, almost overnight.
Right.
Gotcha.
Some of these towns in East Texas, West Texas, the kids that are playing there are grandkids or sons of the kids that won it the last time.
Yeah,
so you
that
get
was,
that multi-generational just, like, amplification.
That's
like,
what I...
We did it, and your brothers and cousins are going to do it.
And it's the talent that goes through the bloodline, too. It's not just a mental expectation. It's physically...
Yeah, the good
you
athletes.
You are breeding good athletes. That's... I'm just saying, that's what was like in Orange Tech.
Uh-oh.
The ice is getting thin over
here. Okay, obvious. Skate away.
When we use the word breeding.
Breeding, yeah.
What?
No problem.
Okay.
Thanks, Jimmy.
You're okay.
Thanks, Jimmy the Greek.
Okay. Yeah.
We're okay.
we'll move
along to the Class 4A Division I semifinal, and that's Argyle and Abilene Wiley.
Argyle finds a way.
Again.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, this is an expected result. They beat Abilene Wiley in the season opener, so it was not a shocker there. But, man, they come back and get it done. They go up 14-0. Then they give up 17 points in the second quarter. They get a touchdown there, a 14-yard touchdown run by Gage McCook is the difference maker.
Gage McCook.
It's a great name.
That is a
good
name.
Woo!
Yep, but they really just ground and pound in the second half. 25 of their 35 plays in the second half are on the ground. And they advance after a crushing loss last year to Navasota in one of the best state finals last year.
Yeah, that was a great game.
That was a great game.
Navasota beat a lot of
Where you had Nick Ralston just...
That guy was just
They were wearing white jerseys, and I've never seen a white jersey look so dirty from the pellets
right.
on the field. But he had 45 carries, 48 carries, something like that, in that loss to Navasota in overtime. They get a shot with a completely new group of kids, or at least a different group of starters. They've rearranged the talent there to put some of those guys on offense. Dane Ledford, the quarterback, being one of them, was a secondary player last year. Todd Rogers continues his tremendous success at the 4A level, and they'll get a shot at Waco La Vega.
Yeah, that's another program, if you talk about multi-generational, because how many years in a row? I mean, not necessarily winning it, but getting this deep in the playoff.
Fourth state final in 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they have just established themselves as the dominant power there in Class 4A. A team that was once kind of overlooked, has been overlooked the last couple of years, in Salina.
The only team to beat Argyle this
year. In Division II, yeah. They beat Argyle by 10 points in a game that was a fairly decisive non-district win. Well, they overcome what I thought was a hill too hard to climb, and they had gotten beat by Gilmer last year, 67-14.
Corbett, you were so sure of yourself on this pick.
I was totally sure.
I thought
that there was absolutely no way.
No way.
It was really interesting.
And they graduated their quarterback. You know, their four-year right. starting quarterback, Nathan Elliott, he was gone. You know, Connor Pingleton has been a—
Pingle Nation.
Yeah, he's been certainly a more than ready substitute for Elliott. But I thought, man, no way. You know, I know Gilmer graduated a lot, and I know that Gilmer was playing with fire for a lot of their
right.
season. Gilmer was the number one ranked team in the state and 14-0 coming in, and an interception return by Shane Gerths, it was a pick six that put them up by two scores, and that sealed the deal. Salina ends up winning that game 49-44.
When I went out there to do a story on Salina last week, I basically went out there thinking I was going to pick Gilmer. And I'm not saying that going out there totally changed my mind, but I was amazed with how calm and, I don't know, confident. Not cocky at all. They're like, hey, they're really good, but we think we have a better plan this year. We know we made mistakes last year. And
you can have a better plan, man. You know, I thought that was going to – I mean, kudos to Bill Elliott and his staff and those kids, because to be able to get off that mental block and say,
right.
we can totally compete with these guys and swing away.
Well, and the other thing is, what did they get down, 21-7
yep.
early?
Mm-hmm.
To not fold is very – I mean, not that I expect anyone to give up when you get this, but to not emotionally feel like, well, here it comes again. Here comes the onslaught. That's a pretty big deal for
Salina. Salina had five turnovers, and Gilmer had about 150 more yards of offense.
Yeah, and 13 more first downs. So, I mean, if you look at it by stats, there's just absolutely no way Salina wins this game, but they win it by a comfortable margin.
Right.
You know, Gilmer ends up scoring late and then trying an onside kick and not getting it.
I was really surprised at how high scoring it was. And I mean, like, I wrote the preview capsule, like, in the paper for this game,
right.
so I learned more than I ever want to know.
And you picked Salina.
I did. Well, I picked Salina by, I think it was, like, 28-21 or something, because just looking at the scores from, like, both of the teams, like, Gilmer has kept its games, its wins, I should say, relatively low score.
Relied on its defense.
Yeah, rely a lot. And Salina's defense, in turn, has also been I mean, they kept shutting out people like nobody's business, but
what did Salina rush for in that game?
Salina rushed for almost 300 yards, 296.
They weren't able to do that at all.
They only had 79
year.
Yards passing.
That's weird, man.
Yeah, but you had Pingleton with a buck 53, and Jaron Alexander, their running back, who'd been missed for part of the season.
And he was injured for last year's game against
right.
Gilmer. Not that was going to be 53 points for him.
No,
but
138 yards on the ground. Just an incredible performance for Salina, who is it's the drive for nine.
Drive for nine,
Which, when you think about it, that would set them apart. Right now they're tied with Southlake Carroll, who in the Kenny Hill year tied the state record for
right.
most state championships.
Yeah, Salina's last championship was 07.
Right.
They played for it in 08.
Who was the coach then? Was that Butch Ford?
It was Butch Ford.
Okay.
What a name.
Butch Ford I always love going out to practice and seeing him with those knee-high socks.
Yeah.
Those were great.
Well, I mean, that is it for the Metroplex, although if you want to include Brock with a really impressive win over Mineola. 38-22. Why are you saying, oh gosh?
There's bless her heart, there's one lady who always gets on us. Because, like, I'll tweet out, like, oh, we have these local teams left. She's like, Brock's still there. Don't you know Brock?
It's North
Texas.
Well,
if you say DFW, then that includes Brock. If you say Dallas area, that does not include Brock. Brock is about 35, 40 minutes outside of Fort Worth. That's not really Dallas area, but
like
it is
Weatherford,
DFW.
Right?
And then Munster. R.I.P. Munster. Facing defending state champion Bremon in the Class 2A Division 2 semifinals, they get beat 40-7.
They're still alive.
They will play another game.
Yes, but I mean that's an impressive run for Munster, their deepest run in school history. That's it for part one. Part two, we'll talk about the state championships at NRG Stadium. Part two.
Where's the gap? There wasn't much of a pause there.
Okay, well, I just need to know what time it is so I can find it there in the recordings in my post-production to include that awesome music.
Okay.
Yep. We've got state championships lined up.
It's finally here.
It is finally here.
I don't know if I'd use the word finally. I feel
it
like
always surprises me
by.
How quickly
this
it goes
postseason
by.
Takes so
I mean,
damn long.
In the sense that I usually get a little some vacation afterwards. Yes, finally. But in the other sense, I think the season goes by very quickly.
It does. It flies by. We've got a really good slate of games. Although for the first time since 2000,
did you confirm that?
I did.
Okay, because I thought it was that, but I wasn't
sure. It's the first time since 2000 that there's no Metroplex team even playing for a state title in the biggest classification, which is kind of a shocker. Austin, Westlake, and Galena Park, North Shore with three losses. Westlake with a really decisive loss to a team that is in the Division II finals, which I think are the better teams, in Katy, 15-0, and Lake Travis. Boy, that's going to be a good game. That game is at NRG Stadium. All these games are at NRG Stadium, but that's the late game, of course.
Yes.
To make everyone's late edition or the next day edition. But good luck to Danny Davis and Andrew Verdejo, the writers there for those respective papers.
Yeah, we know that. All right.
We've got the late game Friday, though, so we'll get our turn.
We have the late game Friday, which will be another good one.
Well, we have all the games Friday, right?
Yes.
Yep.
We have a chance to sweep the second and third largest classifications for the first time.
Boom!
Since they went to two divisions.
So much for the down year, Texas.
Well, Lake Ridge at 15-0 will have its hands full. George Ranch from Richmond ISD, 15-0. And that team is only in its fourth year.
Those folks
varsity.
Are real excited about that.
They got a couple really good running backs.
They do.
So they could keep Lake Ridge off the field for quite a while with some long drives.
Well, I mean, they've been a kind of a shootout team, though. They don't necessarily, grind and win games close. They've been as explosive offense as Lake Ridge. So it'll be an interesting matchup there. That is Friday night at 8 o'clock. I'm intrigued by this matchup between Lone Star and Cedar Park. Cedar Park is the prohibitive favorite.
I think so, too.
Granted that they were there last year and were kind of a miraculous win. Donta Thompson catch away from beating.
Right. Inning that was. Ennis. That was crazy.
Beating Ennis.
Lone Star, I believe, is the underdog, but I really like Lone Star. I think they are one of the scariest underdogs you can have out
Jason
there.
Shelley
so
is, I mean, he's the real deal. Yep. When you talk about dynamic dual threat quarterbacks, Jett Duffy and Shelley are the guys that are driving those two teams in that classification.
And we talked about in the Lone Star game, too, against Lake Dallas. At one point, Lake Dallas had, a first and goal at the two? Mm-hmm. Took him four shots to get in there.
Right.
That defensive front for Lone Star, that's a big-time defensive front. They are not a little finesse-y type thing. They are big and tough.
But you got Jav Guidry, the receiver, cornerback extraordinaire there for Cedar Park.
Yep.
It'll be an interesting matchup. He was dynamic last year in the playoffs.
And they're real good.
There's no doubt. That's a noon Saturday game there at NRG Stadium. It's the opener of the final day of the state championships. In Class 4A, Division 1, Argyle and Waco La Vega. La Vega 15-0 and just absolutely
walloped
Carthage.
Yes.
39-3. This is a Carthage team that had just beaten Trendavian Dixon and Navasota the week prior. So, La Vega.
They're looking pretty good.
Looking pretty good, but this is their deepest run in quite some time. They were a powerhouse in a smaller classification. Well, I guess it was 3A back then, so it's the same classification.
I wonder what Vega means. Well, La Vega, it means something.
It is. I do believe it is.
All questions are good questions, Avi.
Like San Francisco.
Yep, you've got Salina facing West Orange Stark.
Ooh.
A team that Avi knows intimately.
All too well.
Yep. West Orange Stark at 14-1, Salina 15-0. They beat Cuero.
Jack Dallas at the helm on your all-name team.
Great name. They got pounded last year by Gilmer, as did everybody.
Gilmer was just fantastic.
Hung around for a
They hung around until the second half.
Yes,
and then Gilmer
remembered it was Gilmer.
Right. But they are trying to get back to state championship success that they've had. And talk about two-storied programs. Now, that's probably Lake Travis-Katy matchup, and your West Orange Stark and Salina matchups are your two marquee.
And the funny thing is that these two meet each other in different sports for state titles. I remember just going to the state track meets in Austin, and when you talk about 4A or at that time 3A, it was always like West Orange Stark and Salina going into the final event, seeing that who's going to get the most points to win the state track title. So, yeah, like you said,
a lot of coaches will say there's no coincidence between
track
winning
success.
State
tags,
football state titles, and
although
track state
sexy.
Titles. Hey, now.
I'm just saying, I always expect more from them. Because they have really talented players. But
they do. But 6A is very tough.
It is, and that district is as well.
Yep. Brock and Cameron Yeo in Division 1 of 3A. Yo. Brock at 15-0, Cameron Yeo with one loss.
The Yeoman.
But they're defending state champs, who really took care of business last year against Mineola. I think they won 70-40. Tryon Smith, their star player, probably going to be the AP Player of the Year for Class 3A. He would be my favorite. He was my selection from that classification.
Your knowledge knows no bounds.
Indeed. Wascom back.
And humility.
Wascom, right. Again, is back. They face Franklin in a matchup of unbeatens. Franklin in a close game, a 10-7 game over East Bernard, a team that everyone
That must have been like a
loves.
Partial score. They just played one quarter. And then
or it must have been
out.
Like a deluge or something like that. Canadian, probably your best team per classification. I think people were saying, Allen was that team. Well, Canadian takes care of business against an unbeaten Crawford team, 61-14. They're your
That's going to be anticlimactic, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're facing Refurio, a team with loads of success. I don't necessarily relish their successes. Right. But 13-2 Refurio, and Refurio is probably the hottest team in the state as far as the teams they've beaten. They've beaten some great teams, including Shiner in their playoff run. They beat Lovelady to get to the final.
That's true.
As an outsider,
make it a good game.
Can I ask why? I don't understand the thing with Refurio.
Refurio and Manketti, my alma mater, are not necessarily rivals because Refurio beats them and everything.
Oh.
But I can remember.
What part of the state? Is that East Texas?
That's South Texas.
Oh.
And Refurio has just always been known to be kind of chumps.
Haven't they been accused of running it up on people?
Not accused
sometimes?
Of running ups because they do run it up.
Oh,
I actually saw a game.
I haven't seen the conviction, so I'm journalistically I have to say accused, alleged.
Okay, mm-hmm. When I graduated, Banchetti got much better at football, which is no coincidence there. there was a game that my dad was present for. He went back to Banchetti to watch a playoff game, where Refurio was up 28-0. On like the 3-yard line with no time. Banchetti has no timeouts left. There's games like 15 seconds left in the game and they call timeout. And then they score and throw the ball to score on the next play.
I like it.
Yeah. That kind of stuff. It's that kind of stuff that burns me and has always burned
Well,
me.
Did you also? I tweeted it actually. I don't know if you read the Pulaski Academy thing.
I saw that.
No, what happened?
And it's private versus public.
Yeah, it was a whole thing. Pulaski Academy was playing in the state title game for Arkansas and whatever. I guess it's the
Pulaski
biggest,
Academy being the team that beat
Highland Park.
Broke their
right.
And there was, it was like a column by, I guess, one of the TV guys in Little Rock, and he was just appalled at what Pulaski Academy did, where he basically, they were already up, the game was like all they needed to do was take a knee, airing it out. Touchdown.
There were just a few seconds left, if I remember right, and they were up by like 13, and I think
that bomb.
They threw a touchdown pass. Yep.
Yeah, Kevin Kelly.
Did they onside kick right after that?
Yeah, they actually onside kicked it to try to recover their own kick and then run into the I don't know. But I thought that was interesting because, like, I like to keep tabs on some of the bigger storylines.
I like too that the program, he says it's about we, not me. Except that he said if he was the coach of the Cowboys, they would have won a Super Bowl. It's not about me.
No, but he did tell somebody after that he thought that was off the record. Which he said some other things that I actually acknowledged and turned my recorder off.
Man, you're not going to get another interview with Pulaski Academy.
Probably not. No, although he is a very open dude, and it was very nice and very accommodating, and had me out there and sat down with me for an hour.
He was wearing for practice. He had on typical American Dad.
I've never seen an American Dad dress like that.
I didn't even, amusement park attire, where you're wearing the neon tank.
Oh, yeah, he was wearing the neon tank.
Where do you go? What high school? Usually you got a polo, you got a windbreaker.
Or a team t-shirt.
Or one of those Under Armour, but not super tight, t-shirts
we're talking about.
But this dude just looks like he came off the street and decided to coach a high school football
I was honestly waiting for him to change his outfit. Because he was just sitting in his office with his feet up, Foam Posits kicked up on the desk, and I'm thinking, okay, at some point I'm going to have to step away and, oh no, come and talk to the assistant coaches. I interview a couple of the assistants, and then he's like, we're back out on the field, and I'm like, oh, okay.
You're not even gonna, okay, all right, cool.
He's a pretty interesting dude, but obviously a lot of success. He's got it figured out there in Arkansas. Final state championship, which is the early afternoon game on Thursday, is Albany versus Bremon. We talked about Bremon beating Munster. Albany, I said incorrectly on Sports Day on air, the TV show.
People tweeted
that Seagraves won that game because my producer had typed in the wrong score. So I apologize to the people.
Oh, calling them out.
Yeah, David Mino. Come on, get it right, Mino. Albany did not have Seagraves avenge their last year's loss. In fact, Albany back to the state championship game once again. Six-man results real quick. Richland Springs, Denim Reeves was their old player. I loved Denim Reeves. It was one of the best names in six-man football.
This year, Levi Jones.
Yeah, I don't know if he has a brother's name Wrangler or something like that.
Montana.
But they win the Division II championship, 72-26 over Follett. And Abbott, hometown of?
The governor?
Nope. Willie Nelson.
Oh.
Willie Nelson's hometown, 40-30
I love
over
Willie
Kroll.
Nelson.
And that's it.
On the road again.
Matt.
Yeah.
We have about a few minutes here.
About
a few.
All
so
right.
It's like three. Metroplex, is this doom and gloom? Is this the end of the greatest era of dominance in Texas state football history? Maybe
Obviously.
The little Southwest Conference out there in West Texas. Obviously, the Metroplex is doomed.
No, and in fact, I'm writing about that this week.
Oh, you are?
Well, I mean, at the 6A level, you can feel that it's a down thing. But, Austin Westlake played a great game against Allen. To have a team have its 57-game win streak snapped, I don't think you can say, well, then obviously the sky's falling.
Right.
They've been bad.
They're failed.
But my thing is, yes, there is no team. It is first time since 2000 that we haven't had anybody in.
That's pretty surprising.
It is surprising. At the same time, I see, as we're looking forward to, we're going to be really strong. We are very strong in 5A, which has been kind of our down, been kind of the weak spot for the most part in DFW. It's been harder to produce really strong before 4A teams in 5A. And now, we've got the Mansfield schools. Mansfield High is 6A, but Lake Ridge, which is in the championship, and Summit and Timberview, which are really good teams. Frisco schools, Lone Stars in the championship, maybe showing that, hey, they're going to be something in the future. And next year we'll have Denton Ryan back in there and Highland Park back in there.
Yep. And Colleyville Heritage, who I think will
and
be
Colleyville Heritage,
good.
That's right.
They're going to be
I think we're going to be really solid in 5A. And then Cedar Hill's got a ton coming back in 6A. In fact, I was talking to Joey McGuire today, and he was saying, oh, that's ridiculous. Although he always says, and it's fair, he'll say, I'm biased, but there's nobody better
than
us.
No, they're going to be really good next year.
Well, no, he meant the Dallas area. He says week in and week out, is it more difficult to win.
Well,
he says he's biased, but I think it's true. The depth here is still – I still think there's more depth here of good teams. I'm not saying, I mean, Katy may be the best team in the state this year, or it's Lake Travis. I think those are the top two teams in the state.
I would not
But that doesn't mean that Houston, or if Lake Travis won, that Austin is like the king of the crop.
Mansfield's got their best players come back. Kennedy Brooks.
Right.
Yeah, they're going to have to replace their whole entire line, though. So, you know, it's one of those things that that's always a big chore.
Well, the thing that, you know, I look at is that if you look at – or teams in my mind that could have made a run to the state title game, Euless Trinity, who ended up getting eliminated by
South Grand Prairie.
I think either Cedar Hill or South Lake Carroll could have made a nice little run there, and they got eliminated by each other. So it's a matter of the snake biting its own head.
It is. It's very tough to get out of Region 1, which Region 1 this year. I mean, it's just getting out of the Dallas area is always going to be extremely difficult. And but, I mean, at the end, you have to kind of tip your hat to say that Westlake beat Allen and Lake Travis beat Mansfield handily. I think those two teams, you know, deserve to be there. And maybe at the 6A level this year, the Dallas area doesn't have the top four teams. But that doesn't mean that the whole area is really in a, you know, a, this was a down year or
Skyline.
A down
I think it's a barren wasteland. I don't think there's anybody here worth
it. That's good.
And we're entering a UIL realignment year. So there's a possibility that Allen has been Region 2 before.
They've always been, straddling that.
They've been straddling that. They could get kicked over. You could have teams like DeSoto get kicked over into Region 2. That's happened before. There's a possibility that the Austin teams could move out of Region 2 and move into Region 4. That's happened before. Mm-hmm. So you just don't know where the lines of demarcation will be. I do have a pretty good chance, though, that the Metroplex will be a player come 2016.
I would feel more that there would be an issue if like we didn't have anybody in winning regions or regional finals in 6A. But, I mean, you had Allen was a region champion. You had Mansfield, which was a region champion. So, you know, they were two state semifinalists. So
I think, and just real quick, outside of the Metroplex, I think Austin, really, you got to tip your hat to them for having a great year. I mean, three teams from right there playing for
a
state
no
championship.
Doubt. I mean, and that district, the 26-5A.
They say that was the best.
But it's a gimme district.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I don't want to insult people, but it is like Aledo in Region 1 in 5A. The winner of that district on both sides should probably be all the way through to at least the regional final. They're just that much better than San Antonio and Park South. That's a really quality football area. And so when you take those champions, when you take your Vandegrifts and your Cedar Points and Cedar Parks and your Vista Ridges, those are really, you know, top 10 quality state teams, and they have a much easier path throughout the playoffs in Region 4.
And there is some meaning to that, too, where you say, well, you eventually got to play those. But if you have to play four of them in a row or tough teams, and you can maybe do some other things, if you have a couple of games, you can kind of
rest some guys,
cool your heels a little
and
bit.
And on the other side of the coin, real quick, you got to pour one out for Ben Baby. Can't make it again to this. Because I really thought that between Judson.
I don't have to pour one out for Ben Baby.
I thought that between Judson.
I love you, Ben.
I was really high on Steele. I thought between Judson Steele, one of them could have made it to.
I was high on Steele, but I didn't think they'd get past Katy. And
I thought they would have given him a better fight than.
Yeah,
was it 23-0?
34-0, I think.
I think it was worse than that.
38-0.
Keep it going.
It's kind of like the Panthers and the Falcons.
Yeah, it was totally lopsided. So everybody, if you were looking for games to watch, of course, you know, watch those Metroplex teams. But outside of that, that Katy Lake Travis game will be just an absolute barn burner.
I'll be watching it.
For sure.
Because I'm gonna be right here.
Oh.
No, it's okay. I don't want to go to Houston.
Pour one out.
Houston's
for
awesome, by the way. Let's damp down this Houston hatred. It's a great town.
Yep.
I don't know if NRG Stadium is going to be as accommodating. We will see.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if the crowds will be as good. We will see.
That'll be interesting.
You know, it's shoved down there in the corner of the state. You're not going to get a lot of Canadian fans coming driving all the way to Houston, although I'm sure they'll try to bus as many people as they can. But there is a little bit more central location.
You don't have an Allen packing the stadium.
Well, you got a Katy.
I think Katy and Lake Travis will have a really, really good crowd.
I don't know if you'll break the
North
record.
North Shore should do pretty well, right? Okay, sorry.
I don't know.
Well,
I've seen North Shore play a couple of times in the playoffs. Their attendance not
But
I
maybe
saw them
for
play
the state
Waco
title game, we'll see.
Mansfield's letting all their students out early, thank you.
Yeah, we'll have a story about that, about traveling down to the Metroplex. So
hopefully all the town will make it. We'll be there with our kids.
There you go. Greg Riddle, Mansfield. Are your kids Lake Ridge kids?
Yeah, they will be in several years.
That is a beautiful school.
It is.
It really is nice.
It's a nice neighborhood.
Those houses are huge.
They are.
And as long as they get the construction done on that road, that thing was a pain in the butt to traverse.
Yeah, they're trying to widen it to make it
Well, they got to hurry up.
Also known as every Metroplex road. Well, that's it for Sports Day HS Weekly Football Podcast for this year. I'd like to thank you guys for listening to us, and we'll have some sort of recap and talk about our all-area team in the coming week. So look for that, but thank you guys for listening, and enjoy the holiday season and state championship week galore.
Very politically correct holiday
season. You are Jewish, obviously.
It's
so
the
I can't
last
say,
night. Yeah. We're finishing up.
Yeah, well, all right. Okay,
hope
bye.
You enjoyed it.